Canby New Life Foursquare Church welcomes you. We're located at 2350 Southeast Territorial Road, just off Highway 99E. We hope the following message will be a blessing to you.
Well, good morning. We've had a good time worshiping the Lord together, and I'm excited about this weekend because we get to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, and that is missions. Over the last several months, we've had quite a number of those white welcome cards come in which the people who have filled those out say, I'm new to New Life Foursquare Church. And if you're one of those who are recent members of the church family here, we just again want to welcome you. And really what we're aware of is that oftentimes, especially as those of us who are new, and even some of us who have been here for a while, we tend to lose sight or be unaware of how many things are really go on in this church beyond these four walls in this campus. There's an unfortunate saying that's so often true for missions and missionaries, and it's the old saying, out of sight, out of mind. We send people off into various missions enterprises here, and sometimes we lose track of who they are and what they're doing and what's happening in their various areas of ministry. And so we want to correct that this weekend. We want to put faces and places to the things that are happening. And I'm just going to say right up front, we don't even have enough time in a morning service like this to cover absolutely everything that's going on. We're just going to present and focus on four different areas of ministry and the people who are involved. Before we get to that, I just want to read a passage from Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And here Jesus, just before he ascends and returns to heaven to his Father, he said this to his disciples. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. I want to pause right there. All power, all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus Christ. He then says, go therefore. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Can we say amen to that? This is known as the Great Commission. The final instruction that Jesus gave not only to the apostles, the early disciples, but it's a command, it's a commission that is still in force for us today. And as we think about the New Life Church family, over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the fact that we are a body. The church is a body. It's not just a place where we gather, but we're actually a body, and each of us is unique. We all have a role, a function within the body of Christ. And part of what we often lose sight of is the fact that this church body extends beyond these four walls. We are actually reaching other nations. We are reaching our community, both local and even in Portland and other places in the world and in our country. And so we wanted to really focus on some of those who have been involved for quite some time in some of these missions enterprises. And as we do, can I just ask you to do something for me? Would you be open to the possibility that the Holy Spirit might want you to adopt one of these missionaries or their mission? To either pray or pay, or perhaps even go and participate with them. The first one I want to introduce to you are Sean and Vita Mason. And Sean grew up in this church. His family had been a member of this church for many, many years. And after high school, he went to Life Bible College, graduated from there. And he's always had a passion, a real heart for missions. And through some family connections, he found himself in Albania. And he is now the pastor of an Albania church in a little town called Korça in southeast Albania, and you can locate this on the map. It's just on the border of Greece and just south of Macedonia. Need to say a couple things about this nation. In 1994, with the fall of communism, this country became an independent democratic country, and unfortunately, it is very, very impoverished. The unemployment in this country is somewhere in the round neighborhood of 40%. And so if you were to go to Albania today, you will see people still plowing their fields with horses and plows and drawing carts with horses. And so it's really, really slowly trying to emerge into a functioning economy. A lot of poverty and drugs, as you will soon discover. Sean married a wonderful gal. Her name is Christiana. Oh, sorry. I was looking over here at Jordan Storley. He married Christiana, the Albanian gal. Sean married Vita. She's from Lithuania. Boy, that would be embarrassing if Sean were here, wouldn't it? Yeah, Sean married. It was really amazing. Both Sean and Vita were missionaries in different parts of the world. Sean was in Albania, and she was in Southeast Asia. And through family, friends, they connected and got married. And how many of you remember their boy and their girl? Remember Oliver running around here? Yeah, they're just a tremendous family doing a wonderful, wonderful work in Korça, Albania. And they've sent us a little greeting. Just to say hello to all of you and give you an idea of what they're doing in Korça. Let's take a look.
Hello from Korça, Albania. Hello from the Mises. Hi, everybody. We're happy that you're doing the Missions Emphasis Weekend. We want to just send our love and our greetings to those of you who know us. Say thank you for all your generous support over the years. And on this occasion, we wanted just to share with you a little bit about what we're doing here in the southeast Albanian town of Korça. For those of you who don't know us, we pastor a church here in the city, which they say is about 80,000 people. They say in all of Albania, there's only about 2% who are Christian believers. So our heart, our vision, our goal is just to see our city come to know Christ, as many as possible come to know the love and the hope of Jesus. One of the questions we often ask is, if our church was to close its doors tomorrow, would our city know any different? Would they know that we even exist? So we want to be a place of light and hope, a place where people come and find true community, a true family, and, of course, the love of Jesus Christ through us. We're going to show you a little bit of our church service on Sundays. We're going to show you our newly launched village outreach in a nearby village. And we're also going to show you a new project that we're venturing into, which is an indoor climbing center for the youth of our city. A youth center, indoor climbing gym, where they can come and gather, have a safe place to hang out with their friends. Some statistics have said that Korça has the largest drug use in all of Albania. So our youth of this city really need a safe place to come and hang out and find true, positive friendships. And our hope is that in finding those true friendships, they'll find Jesus. So come with us on this video journey and see what we do here on a weekly basis in Albania. We love you guys. Thank you for everything. And we hope that maybe one day some of you or all of you can make it out this way for a visit. Bye-bye.
You are the hand that reaches out to save.
Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for Sean and Vita and their heart and their commitment to preach the gospel to people, to learn their language, to go into a country that's foreign to both of them, and to just labor for the Lord in that mission field that the Apostle Paul went through there and preached the gospel nearly 2,000 years ago. But obviously, there's a lot of work to do still in that harvest field. I'm so excited because they now not only they now have their own home. It's one of those homes built during the communist era, 3 foot thick walls, stone and mud, and they had to put a new roof. And you know, the house needs a lot of work. So any of you that feel called to go over there and help them put in a main floor that they can see through into the basement, just want to know you're sure welcome to go over there and give them a hand. The other thing that's exciting about what they're doing is they just have now got their own church building. They're renting this building that you saw in the video presentation. And it's just wonderful. The church now has really identified and solidified in their commitment to the Lord and to each other because they now have something of their own to work on. And that's why you see that climbing gym. I'm going to embarrass Jordan. Would you stand up for us, Jordan? Come on. Jordan Starley, part of our church family. He's the one climbing up that steel over there. Thanks, Jordan. And Jordan married a gal, just a sweetheart, Christiana. She's Albanian, and so he goes back and forth and helps out over there working with the youth. And as you can see, there's a lot more work to be done. So thanks, Jordan, for your partnership in that work. And I know that many of you, your hearts are already tied to Sean and Vita and the family, so really keep them in your prayers. Next, I want to introduce to you Ben and Joy Clifton. They can come on up here. We're going to talk to you about another ministry outreach of this church family, and that is in downtown Portland through Mercy Missionaries and Ministries to the hotels, one of the hotels downtown Portland. So go ahead and talk to us about that.
Well, I was reflecting on one of the songs we sang that Jesus is mighty to save, and he can move mountains. And I thought that is so true at Westwind. We started a couple years ago, and this was a very dark place. We went in, and it was dark spiritually and physically. And while we were there, it was there was just amazing changes that took place as the Holy Spirit worked through us in touching the lives of these people who are so marginalized. And we spent time praying with them and loving on them and serving them with food and just trying to just be their friends. And at first they didn't receive it well, but as we kept returning, they knew that we really did care about them. We really loved them, and we really wanted to let them know that. One man in particular that stands out is Francisco, and he's going to be up here pretty soon. He's a gentleman from Cuba, and he came with his two brothers. And when he first started going through the line on Tuesdays, he was very surly and disheveled and very rude. And over time, he started being kinder and loving, and he hugs us and helps us now. And the transformation in him is unbelievable. And he was at our Bible study on Saturday, and he was cleaned up. His hair was pulled back. He had reading glasses, and he was studying the Bible. He doesn't know a word of English, but he had his Spanish Bible. So it was very exciting to see that. And that's just one example. So we really do covet your prayers for this ministry. Thank you.
So as Joey said, we've been privileged to see just transformation in this dark place, this dirty place, this grimy place. We've seen transformation in the lives of the people that are residents there. But for us, it's also been a process of transformation for us as well, that we're finding ourselves being transformed from people who know what the commandment of Jesus is. As Al talked about our Great Commission, we have knowledge of what we're commanded to do, but it's a different thing to move into obedience to that commandment, and that's really transformed our lives. And it's been such a privilege to grow in that way, to reach out to there's Francisco right there, to reach out to these people and understand that despite the fact that they're living in relative squalor, there's bugs and fleas and cockroaches and rats and mice that we see literally in this hotel downtown, we're able to, through the Holy Spirit, we're able to reach out and touch these people and pray for them and truly love them in just a small way, the way the Lord loves them, and see them in the light of Jesus. I had the privilege yesterday of talking for about half an hour to Alan, who is a young man. He's been blind from birth. He's gay. And I just felt myself loving him. And that's a transformation that I've been blessed to experience in my life as a result of going down and being with these people. So yes, we are just grateful for the transformation we see in them and the transformation we see in this hotel downtown, but we're also really grateful for the transformation that God is doing in us, and we're humbled by that. So thank you for your prayers. Thank Amen. You for your support.
Amen. Thanks, Ben.
As these slides continue to scroll, I want you to pay attention to some of the familiar faces. You may recognize Esther Juanes here. Sammy and Joanne, our pastors overseeing this ministry, they have just been so faithful to just provide guidance and to participate and shoulder some of that responsibility of ministering. So Sammy, would you just stand so people can see that you and Joanne are really helping these guys down there? And you probably noticed Esther Juanes and Annie and some of the others. And we have just a great team of people who just said, you know what, I want to step out in faith. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I need to go love the people that Jesus loves. Even though in our flesh, in our physical, we would not want to go there on purpose, yet these are the kind of places where Jesus wants us to go, to bring light into darkness, to bring salt and life into places that are dying and decaying. And these are some of the highways and byways we are called to go into to share the good news of the kingdom, that lives can be healed, restored, forgiven, and saved. And so there's just a great team of folks here at this church who are giving. And by the way, if you want to help participate in your bulletin each weekend, you'll see Mercy Missionaries Ministry highlighted. And so maybe you don't feel like you want to go down there and hang out with cockroaches, fleas, and bedbugs, but listen, you can bring Velveeta cheese and soy milk. Yeah, you'll notice there's a bin out here in the lobby this weekend, but it's usually in our patio. And just pay attention to what things they're looking for here, and you can be a part. You can bring some things that will help them to be able to care for these folks and encourage them and give them a little hope. The next person I want to introduce are the founding pastors of this church, Jack and Linda Gustafson. This church founded in 1978, and even in those early years, they always had a passion for missions. And really, even though they planted this church, it wasn't too many years later that they went and planted another church, and then they found themselves as missionaries to Brazil. I want to point out just a couple of things about Brazil. It's a huge country, and it's not hard in Brazil for people to come to saving faith in Jesus. There are many, many churches in Brazil, and many people have come to Christ over the last 10, 20, 30 years. There have been major revivals in this nation. What they lack is discipleship, and even many of the pastors of these churches have not been formally trained. And this is Jack and Linda's passion, to go in and resource and help these pastors and leaders disciple the flock of God, the church of God. And so some of the cities that they will mention here is Belém, Manaus. They minister primarily in the Amazon River basin, that whole area of the Amazon River, but also even south into Recife. So listen to Jack and Linda as they share a greeting to all of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jack and Linda have been going into Brazil for many, many years now, discipling these pastors, helping them, resourcing them. Jack's written several books to encourage these young leaders. And they founded a ministry called Co-Mission International. And many of you do support them, but just need to share with you that Sean and Vita and Jack and Linda really could use some additional help this time of year especially. So I want you to be thinking about them and praying for them and just ask the Lord how you might be able to partner with them in their ministry. The last group I want us to hear from this morning is someone you're very familiar with, most of you, and that is Arlene Tatum and the International Reconciliation Ministry team that went to Rwanda and Uganda this past summer. So, Arlene.
I want to thank you for the partnership that you've had with IRM. I started doing ministry in the Great Lake regions of Africa in 2005, and then the Lord led me to form International Reconciliation Ministries in 2008. And although IRM has been focused on the country of Rwanda, this year God provided the opportunity for ministry in the country of Uganda. I left for Uganda on July 5th and met the rest of the team on July 26th when they arrived in Rwanda, and we all returned on August 11th. But when I think of doing ministry in Africa, I'm reminded of your partnership with IRM and the verses in Romans that say, "And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" Thank you for sending us. Although we were based in Kampala, our ministry and fact-finding there, time there, caused us to travel quite a bit. And everything in Uganda was overseen by the IRM Rwanda vice president that many of you met earlier this year, Alfred Mapenzi. And our new partners there were Irene, who also helped in Rwanda, Pastor Aaron, and Pastor Herman, who has a number of churches that he oversees. He scheduled a town center crusade in one of those village churches under his care, and I was able to meet Pastor Emmanuel there. The church is quite large, and I was informed that the very unique floor covering was actually a dried layer of smoothed-out wet cow dung. Pastor Aaron's church is located by a fishing village at the edge of Lake Victoria. And after the morning service, we had a crusade there in the village center. And the next day, I had a women's conference where 30 women were invited and 70 women attended. We were able to meet in the capital city with the commissioner of prisons, and she approved for us to go to 4 prisons. The prisons in Uganda are much smaller than the ones in Rwanda, although there are many more of them, probably about 50 in the country, and they're less improved than the ones in Rwanda. And according to Pastor Aaron, the prison areas where we visited are steeped in shrines, witchcraft, and child sacrifice. I must admit that on this trip, God stretched me out of the box as never before. At our second prison that we were visiting, we were setting up for the crusade when they came and said that a village woman had appeared and come asking that I would pray for her because she said she was tormented with demons. Now, I have to tell you that my first thought was fear. But that was immediately followed by a huge, encompassing feeling of the Holy Spirit as he said to me, "You don't have to be afraid." And then he gave me enough courage to say to myself, "I will not be afraid, and I will not show any fear." After spending some time with her, we all watched her face and her eyes and her demeanor change as the Holy Spirit brought her to saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. But then on July 20th, it was time for me to go to Rwanda to prepare for and meet the U.S. team that was coming. Last year, we traveled to southern part of Rwanda, and this year, the team traveled to the northern part of the country. The country is so beautiful that it's easy to forget the carnage that took place there during the genocide in 1994. Where 1 million people lost their lives in 90 to 100 days. But IRM is blessed to have 24 Rwandan partners that want to see their country recover, and they partner with us all during the year. But during this trip, we mainly worked with Pastor Innocent, Pastor Jerome, Pastor Peter, who with his wife minister at the IRM office, Bishop Alexis, and Alfred. In the capital city there, I was able to meet with Mary and Dativa, who has been a friend to IRM for many years. She is the one who saw to it that our application for prison ministry was approved and actually gave us two more prisons than we had applied for, making the corrections facilities that we entered, the total of that was 8. Leslie.
I want to begin by reading to you from Acts 1:8. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." As soon as my feet hit the soil of Rwanda, I felt peace, but I was aware of the spiritual war around us. It was so clear to all of us that the forces we were up against would not be won in the natural. So we went to war through prayer. In the women's conferences, we encountered several interruptions of demonic manifestations that were happening as the forces of darkness were trying to distract from the work of the Holy Spirit. The things I saw in the Spirit were as real as you and I are standing here today. In Revelation 12, it says, "We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." And I believe that word applies to us today. As I shared our teaching, followed by my story, I watched the Holy Spirit minister in a way that can only be described as miraculous. As women responded, they were delivered as the Spirit moved and worked in each of their hearts. It was an honor to pray with them and to hold them as they cried and to feel the deep, deep love of the Father for them. And I simply have no words to describe those moments. There is power in our testimony, His healing power. He sent us to the other side of the world. We witnessed as He released courage in women to stand in His power and to speak their untold stories of how He is redeeming and restoring their lives. And He who has begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. And I am believing that for our friends in Rwanda. Thank you. Amen. Terry.
Well, when I went to, when I was praying about going to Rwanda, I really felt God was saying, yes, this is the time for you. But I looked at my team that I was going to be a part of, and they're all pastors. I'm thinking, what about me? What am I supposed to do? So I thought, well, you know, I'm fairly healthy and strong, so I'll carry suitcases. And I can count, you know, even use a calculator so I can help keep track of the Bibles we handed out. But God had something else in mind. When we got there, we shared with Pastor Peter, who was the IRM leader in Rwanda, how we came to be there, you know, how God provided for us, how God provided the money, the time, and that sort of thing. And so when we went into the prisons, the pastors taught the leadership training seminars we had after the General Crusade. And I thought, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not really a teacher. What am I supposed to do? And God said, I want you to share your testimony. And I thought, well, what do you want me to share? He said, I want you to share the things that you have been ashamed of, the things in your life that you've done that I've forgiven you, that are under the blood of Jesus, but I want you to share those. And I said, no, the first time. And he said, I want you to share. And he said, trust me. So I did. When the pastors were done with the training, I stood up in about 10 or 12 minutes, shared testimony of what God, the redemption that God has done in my life. the shameful things that I had done, the things that I still struggle, even after being forgiven, I struggled with the shame. And yet God said, this is what, when I said that all things work together for good to those who love me and to those who are called according to my purpose, this is what he meant. And I shared, and I saw people who were, you know, they were just kind of paying attention, connect. Because then they could see that here's this guy that took time off from work and spent his money and other people's money to come here just to tell me that Jesus loves me. And Jesus sent me here, sent them here to tell me that I'm important, that I'm valuable. Just like he did with me when I, you know, when God redeemed me. So, again, thank you so much, because those that gave, those that supported us in prayer, made it possible. And, of course, like I said, we had an incredible team, and it was my privilege to work with them. And I hope to go back. So, thank you. Brian?
So the last time I spoke in front of a group this size at all, I was in a prison in Rwanda. So this is a bit of a different experience to be up here. I wanted to just pull out this Bible, because I have two stories, and the first one talks about what God did with some Bibles. It was really neat. We were at a prison in, we were at eight of them, and this was one day when we were at a prison we weren't even supposed to be at first. It wasn't even on the schedule until... Well, it was a common question. What are we doing today, Arlene? I don't know. God's going to show us. And so, what are we doing tomorrow? Why do you have to know? God's going to show us. And so, it was one of those days where we kind of said, well, instead of driving 3 hours to get to this prison, let's drive an hour and a half to get to where the prison used to be, because there's still 250 men there that need to hear the gospel. And so, we showed up, and they allowed us in, and Arlene gave her crusade, as she always did, and... You know, many of the people in that prison accepted the Lord that day. And the cool thing about that was we had enough Bibles to go around. So we gave our Bible, or we gave the Bibles out to the men in the prison. And, you know, I have about eight Bibles, I think, at home on my shelf, various different translations. I have my favorite, so I pull it out and I read it. And if I want to read it in a different way, I pull out a different translation and I look at that, or I'll compare them. But there's some, I think, on my shelf that I really haven't cracked but a couple of times in my life. And it was absolutely amazing to see these men take the Bible that was written in their language, hold it up over their head, and start jumping up and down and praising God, so much so that the concrete floor we were standing on was shaking. And I kid you not, I looked at Terry and went, wow, how are they not hurting their feet? Because they don't have much in the way of shoes, and they were jumping so hard that the darn floor was shaking. So it just made me really grateful and think a lot about what I do with my Bible and how grateful I need to be, because they were. The second story I got is, there's a picture that'll come up when Arlene comes back up to talk, and there's this young Muslim man. He's wearing a white cap and white clothing, and we were at the end of our trip, and we were doing some banking on one of the last days, and as was Arlene's custom, she jumped out of the van with tracts in her hand, and it's different there giving out tracts than it is here. People actually come up and ask for them, and they wonder what they're about. And this man came up and asked for a tract and sat there, stepped away about 10 feet, and then really read the thing for about 10 minutes. And it was really interesting watching him kind of devour this tract. He actually brought two or three of his friends up and got tracts for them as well. And the neat thing about those tracts is, on the bottom of the tract, there's written the name of the pastors and their phone numbers. And we heard later that that young man actually made a phone call to one of the pastors and said, hey, you know, I read this tract, and I want to meet you. I want what you're talking about in regards to Christ. I want to know him. I don't know that peace, and I want him in my life. And it was really cool just to watch how an encounter on the street turned into this young man really hungering for the Lord and wanting and seeing a solution for that. So thank you, Arlene.
Yeah, the team had a number of opportunities to share the gospel when we didn't have a translator available to us by using the IRM green-colored tracts. This Muslim man did get one, as he said, and it just... it made me smile at God's sense of humor in using a Muslim to help us share the gospel. But in Gisenyi, northern Rwanda, at the Congo border where we were, we had the opportunity to do ministry at a Foursquare church there. And we had a crusade at a prison that was also located there, and a hard labor interim camp for prisoners that's called a Tige camp. And but at the end of that crusade, the team was able to distribute the Bible discipleship booklet sets to everyone in the camp because we had enough. Thank you for helping provide 4,644 Bible sets for this trip. I've told you before, and as Brian just shared with you, about the villagers or prisoners celebrating when they receive a Bible, but I thought perhaps you'd like to see that for yourself. It was a wonderful trip, and we saw God pour out his Spirit in so many ways, one of which was the harvest that the Holy Spirit brought. One deliverance, 13,637 forgiveness decisions, and salvation decisions were 14,717. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts in sending us. Your partnership with IRM is reaching the least of them with the gospel. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Arlene. I'm going to have them stay up here on the platform for just a few minutes, and just as a way of closing out our time together, you know, Jesus said something really important that I want us to be reminded of in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. But before I read that, I want to just ask you all a question. How many of you are really looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ? Would you just lift your hand? Okay, you're really looking forward to him. Okay, well, here's the thing. Jesus can't come yet. Because according to Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." What that means is we have a lot of work yet to do. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. And Jesus said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers into the harvest." And I'm thankful for these that we've talked about here this morning who have obeyed that call and are reaching the world through this body life, this group of people here. And I haven't even talked about all of them. There are many, many others who are involved in missions and ministry, both locally, in our state, and in our world. But in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "It's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." See, where we all live and work, that's our Jerusalem. Your neighborhoods, your local communities, that's Jerusalem for you. God has strategically placed you in your neighborhoods, in the cities you live, in the country you live. The place where you work is not an accident. Jesus needed light and salt there. And you get to be his missionary, and that's your mission field. But we don't just limit our reach to what we see around us. Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes. The fields are white to harvest." We have to look beyond these four walls, beyond this campus, and we have to see the people in our communities who don't know Jesus. We have to be willing to go to the highways and the byways, to West Wind Hotel. We need to be willing to go to Mexico, as Wayne and Judy Stanley do, or to Kenya to reach some of those in orphanages, as someone in our, as a couple in our congregation are doing, or to Rwanda or Uganda. God has opened doors for us as a church. We need to be faithful to walk through those doors. And so our response, all of us are either called to do one of three things: pray, pay, or go. All of us can pray. Most of us can probably pay or help, contribute to these various ministries in one way or another. And some of us might be fortunate enough to even go. But this is the call. It's not just about us coming here weekend after weekend and hearing a message, singing songs, and going our way. I need to break it to you gently, but when people are brought into this world, our default destination is not heaven. And God so loved this world, he didn't want any to perish. That's why he sent Jesus, so that we could be forgiven of our sins, we could receive the gift of eternal life, and know for sure that heaven will be our home when this life is over. Most of the world does not know that good news. And folks, Jesus is the only way you get there. And so I'm going to invite our West Wind folks, if they would come to the platform, Pastor Sammy and Annie and Esther and anyone else involved in that ministry. And let me just highlight some of the other things that we do here while they're on their way. On Wednesday nights, our Next Gen department, they just completed Operation Christmas Child. Some of you parents know what that's about, shoeboxes. They went, you bought little gifts, put them in the shoebox, and what else goes in that box? Well, the gospel goes in that, and it's sent to children all over the world. And so some children around the world are going to receive Christmas. They're also going to get to know who the Christ of Christmas is. We also just are in the process of completing the Angel Tree ministry, reaching those. You can't go to a prison. You can minister to the children whose parents are in prison and in jail. Christmas gifts for the West Wind. They're going to be giving out a Thanksgiving dinner down there and ministering during the holiday seasons to those folks at West Wind. The Canby Center, we're going to have a Christmas tree out here in the lobby. There'll be things that you can take off that tree, things that you can help Canby Center do. We're partnering with them to reach many of the homeless and those who are less fortunate in our high schools and who live out on the I-5 rest stop. Every time you purchase a coffee at our cafe, the proceeds of that go to missionaries who have the greatest need, and we meet three or four times a year to decide where those funds could best be used. And here's another one that might just be under your radar. Just behind us here in the first grade and younger, the children over here in our Sunday school department, in our Next Gen department for the littlest children, Kimberly over there is now campaigning to put together what we're calling Water of Life Ministry. What that means is there are countries around the world where parents and children and families don't have clean drinking water. And so they're working to raise some money to get some of these filtration systems so that children can have, and parents and families can have, clean water for their children to drink. What I'm trying to do this weekend is help us to lift our eyes beyond ourselves, beyond this church, and see that there's a world out there. And every one of us here have certain gifts, talents, and opportunities. And we just want you to be a part. Be a part of what God's doing right now. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what can I do? We can all pray. As you've seen the faces, you've heard the messages here. Did the Holy Spirit connect you with someone? Take that as his instruction to you. Commit to pray for them. Pray. Look at your Christmas giving. Is there something that maybe you could do to help some of these folks who probably need to know that we love them, even though we're so far away? So I want you to think about that, would you? And so to conclude this, would you just stand with me and these who are up on the platform here? We're just going to join hands. I'm going to ask you to do this. And I know that we look at these folks up here and think, oh, that's so great. They're wonderful missionaries. We're excited about what they're doing. So here's the thing. I am now officially commissioning you as missionaries. The Great Commission applies to all of us here. And so as I pray for them, I want to pray for us all. Jesus, we thank you for the things we've heard today. Lord, I thank you that this harvest is plentiful, and you've given us opportunities. You've given us the privilege of partnering with you to just be obedient, just to go wherever you call us to go, to share our testimony, something as simple as what you've done for us, and then to see you work and change lives. Thank you for those who have gone to Africa and have just reached into those terrible places of hopelessness, to prisoners who've committed genocide and have no hope and no future. But Lord, we thank you for the thousands who've come to know you and received you as Savior and Lord. Lord, I thank you for those that go downtown Portland into places that no one would want to go, and yet they're loving the unlovely. And God, we thank you that you're saving people and delivering them even in our own backyard. So God, I thank you for all of us here that have a part as one body in Christ. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and committed to the work you've given us to do until you return. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can contact the church office Tuesday through Thursday from 9 to 5 and Fridays from 9 to 3 at 503-266-4444. Please visit us on the web anytime at canbyfoursquare.com. Pastor Ron and others on New Life staff, along with occasional guest speakers, trust that the Holy Spirit will use the message to teach you, encourage you, and give you hope.